Let's go. Welcome on into the Auburn Daily Show, the Friday edition. I'm your host, Lindsey Crosby, baseball writer for auburndaily.com, joined by Harrison Tarr, women's basketball and softball correspondent, as well as host of the College Loop, one of the best podcasts you can find out there about Auburn athletics. So, Harrison, I want to take advantage of you and your great knowledge on some of this stuff. When we're looking at the football roster, we're looking at the quarterback room. Hugh Freeze had some pretty interesting comments the other day about this quarterback room. And I'll read the quote real quick from, he was on Crane and Company on Wednesday, and he said, he was asked for an update. And he said, "I don't really know the answer because I haven't coached any of them for a single down. I have met with them to try to start working on the mental side of this position because there's some growing up that needs to take place in that regard. I don't mean this as a negative. I just don't think they've ever been told this is not acceptable to be the quarterback here. You don't need to react this way or that way." What is your reaction when you hear that quote about Auburn's quarterback room, which right now is TJ Finley, Robbie Ashford, and Holden Gariner?
First off, that's an interesting order to list them off there. But
order that they got snaps last year. There you
right,
go.
Right. Sure. I think that it's important to keep in mind that that Hugh Freeze even mentioned in his interview that this is not necessarily a negative, that there's a lot of mental growing up. I mean, it doesn't get in, you don't even really have to look that far back beyond Robbie Ashford's antics. Nobody's harder on Robbie Ashford than Robbie Ashford is on Robbie Ashford. I said that word a lot, but it makes sense if you don't think about it. Anyways, just follow my logic here. There's a large part of and a lot of truth in what Hugh Freeze said there in terms of We know the growth needed from Robbie Ashford from a mental standpoint in terms of he tends to get into this position where it's kind of like, I don't know if you've ever seen The Replacements with Keanu Reeves, but it's like quicksand. And that's actually a great analogy where one thing goes wrong and you start beating yourself up and then another goes wrong and another and you're buried alive. Mm-hmm. I kind of think that that's more what he was alluding to that point. TJ Finley, we know that there's attitude issues. I'll go ahead and say that publicly. I think that that's not quite a very well kept secret. And you can say what you want about his whole 2022 season. And there were ups and downs for him for sure. But I think there was definitely an outlook that needed to be adjusted on that front. Should he return to Auburn in 2023?
There are questions about that.
There are a lot of questions about that. And then you look at Holden Gariner, and it just youth, right? There's no doubt in anybody's mind that the kid can sling the rock. Pretty much everybody that's watched any film from the three guys that in theory Auburn will be talking, choosing between. And I know we're going to talk about that in here in a moment, but that he's probably the best passer on this roster. And his film speaks for itself, but he's young. And like Coach Freeze said, he's not coached a single one of them for a down. So it's tough to really say where you're at as a benchmark, but mentally you can look back and look at film and say there were antics on the sideline that are just not acceptable for a guy that needs to be a leader.
Yeah. And I think we forget about that sometimes, that the quarterback in just about every single situation has to take charge and be the leader of the offense. And so he has to have the respect of his teammates. They have to believe in him as far as his performance, but they also have to respect him and his leadership. Because when you're on the field, you have a play clock clicking down. You don't have time to argue over who's right or who's wrong. Quarterback says to do it, you have to do it. And so those relationships matter. And it's going to be really interesting to me to see when spring practice starts, who gets the number one snaps. Because like you said, there's things that you can like or not like. Holden Gariner, to me, when you go back and you watch A-Day stuff, he looked like he had the most talent, arm talent of any quarterback on the roster.
Sure.
Looked great. We saw a brief glimpse of him in a game and deer in the headlights because he had bad protection. He was under duress, and it was his very first snaps as a collegiate quarterback. Robbie Ashford came in for TJ Finley. TJ Finley, like you mentioned, was reported to have kind of quit on the team and then come back and things like that. Ashford had frustration at different times with different things going on, and some of that's carried on into the offseason. And so it's really interesting to me. I think either way, it feels like Auburn's going to go out and get a transfer after spring. And I think part of that is because TJ Finley is kind of commonly expected to graduate and then move on. But even if he stays, it just feels like you're going to go out and get another guy to have more depth and competition in the room. knowing that you have 2 years until Walker White gets on campus. And even then, he's probably not going to start as a true freshman.
Right. I don't think you're wrong at all, Lindsay. I think that Auburn will go out and get someone, and I don't want to use the term just go get a warm body, but only having three guys in a room, even if TJ Finley were to stay, plus walk-ons and what have you, but still three scholarship guys, that gets concerning from a quarterback perspective, specifically at that position where guys get knocked around and you get bumped back to second and third string guys, and you have to keep playing ball in the toughest conference in the country. And you want to make sure that you're prepared should that happen. Now, I don't necessarily know that it'll be a splash transfer, a guy that'll be an instant starter. I think that we've heard some rumors circle around that had gone stale for a minute, and then they were renewed, and then they're stale again. And read between the lines as you will on that one. But Auburn will bring somebody in. At least I think they'll bring somebody in the transfer portal window this spring, just if nothing else, to have someone whose competence sounds condescending, and I'm not trying to sound that way, but someone who is capable and competent enough that if you have a emergency quarterback situation, this guy can come in and at least be a game manager, right?
Yeah. And I think it was Maryland a few years ago that had, I want to say, lost five quarterbacks during the season and was playing a linebacker at quarterback and ran the ball a ton. And look no further, different level of the game, but look no further to the NFC Championship game. San Francisco was down to their third string quarterback. Brock Purdy hurts his elbow. Four string quarterback Josh Johnson comes in, gets a concussion, has to leave the game. But Brock Purdy is a torn UCL. He can't throw. So they're doing a lot of direct snaps to the running back and Wildcat stuff and things like that. Auburn's roster right now, the online roster, has those three scholarship quarterbacks and walk-on Sawyer Pate, and that is it. So it feels like there's a scenario, especially if Finley leaves, you may go out and get more than one. You do add baby goat Hank Brown in the fall, but again, that's kind of like if you have to get to the point where Hank Brown is seeing the field in his true freshman year, things are very, very concerning, and you'd rather have a veteran come in as a transfer, preferably one with multiple years of eligibility, over something like a Hank Brown. If you're in the portal already, if you're already there, right, you already make a trip to the portal to go get a quarterback. Are there any other positions that you're looking to try to get to augment the 23 roster? Because to me, I think if you can get some sort of big play wide receiver, you do that. But either way, I think I'm looking for another depth piece on the edge.
You kind of took the words out of my mouth. And also, thank you for mentioning Hank Brown in my headcanon. I had said Hank Brown's name, and it just processed to me that I did not. I promise you, I know he's on roster in 2023. I just let that one.
He's just not here yet, so we don't think about him.
Yeah, it's out of sight, out of mind kind of vibe. You know what I mean? Yeah, one of those things. But you're right. Going and getting an edge, and I don't think it hurts to add to this linebacker room. I really don't. You want it by committee, and I mean, I think we have high expectations for DeMario Tolan and a lot of these guys that we think could be very good under a new administration that we think are going to go about things just from a fundamentally different way, right? But I think that if on the defensive side of the ball, you probably want to go get a linebacker or an edge or both, just to continue adding that depth. And the wide receiver room feels like it could add someone, Lindsay, but every time we say that, it doesn't. So there was a handful. However, I don't know that we're going to see Auburn pick up one of those, possession first guys. Maybe a speed guy, skill guy that can run routes. I'm not sure about a possession first.
Yeah, and so 2023 roster, probably a little bit of tinkering there. But the 2024 recruiting class has gotten some news. Obviously, you have your quarterback. That's a big part of it. We expect him to improve on the star rating between now and when he actually gets on campus. But that class feels like it has a chance to be a pretty good class, right?
This class could be exceptional, Lindsay. I had the privilege of speaking with Rivals Caleb Jones on Wednesday, recruiting analyst over there. He does a fantastic job. Make sure you check out his work too. But we had an opportunity to sit down with him, and he was talking about how it is really not unrealistic to expect the 2024 class at Auburn to be a top 10 class. It's not crazy. I mean, it takes a ton of work at any level, at any school, including the Alabamas and Georgias of the world, to be a top 5 class. But Caleb seemed encouraged. I'm encouraged with the guys that have generated interest in Auburn, given this just volume of people at Junior Day. You've already got your quarterback, like you mentioned, Walker White, who's got his Walker's Most Wanted, his list of guys that he's going after to get, and he's openly going out and trying to grab. You've got Jaden Lewis, Amon Lane. guys that are all four stars and really setting the tone for what really it's going to be the first of two make or break classes under Hugh Freeze. The 24s and the 25s are going to determine more than likely the success that Hugh Freeze and company will have at Auburn. And if 24s in the early going is a good representation, I think Auburn should be in good shape. Caleb brought up a really good point about Auburn's probably a little behind on the 24 class. That's to no fault of freezing them. I'm not trying to throw shade at the previous administration, but I will because they just weren't doing their job. And Lindsay, I'm just being honest.
Yeah. I mean, you're that's the thing. You're not wrong. It's hard to get mad about it. You're not wrong.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm really not trying to sound biased or negative. It's just a fact. You're behind. This is you're getting a probably 6 out of 10 a head start compared to other schools where you maybe at like a 9 or a 10. You're a couple steps behind. But Hugh Freeze and company showed us in the 23 class that they're capable of making up ground in a very quick way. And I think you mentioned the guys out of Carver a couple shows ago. I can't remember if it was you or if I was on. I've talked to a bunch of recruiting folk recently. It's been a blessing. But there's a lot of good opportunities for Freeze and company to flip guys going to big time schools within the conference. And the ceiling for the 24s, man, Auburn fans, you should be pumped.
You absolutely should be pumped. And something that I expect Auburn to look at for 24, if not in the portal for 23, is running back. Jarquez Hunter's expected to be gone by the time you get to 2024. So would Brian Battee. But even just going into next year, Auburn's going to have four scholarship running backs in Cobb, Austin Battee, and Jarquez Hunter. And Hugh Freeze, all this time at Ole Miss, typically had five scholarship running backs every season, not four. So going to be interesting to see what they do there.
I'm sorry. My apologies. I was just going to throw in there. And the 24 class, Cadillac's already said they're going to take two backs. I didn't mean to cut you off. I'll let you carry on from there. I didn't want to miss that.
Yeah, no, it's just like that's pretty much a known certainty. And so like if you're a betting person, that is your way to have a little inside information as to what's going to happen. If you're also a betting person, you need to know about Prize Picks. We've partnered with Prize Picks here at Auburn Daily to bring some fun and variety to 2023. It's a free app that lets you choose any 2, 3, 4, 5, or 6 players from any sport in your wagers, predict the over or under on the given statistic for the next game, and win big prizes if they do well. What I love is they have flex options. You can get paid on winning 3 of 5 or 2 of 3, things like that. You can even have multiple sports in the same parlay. Use promo code Auburn to get doubled in your first deposit up to $100. That's promo code Auburn for double your first deposit. This college basketball season, win some money with Prize Picks and Auburn Daily. Use promo code Auburn.
Listen to Lindsay's locks. Don't take Tar's takes. That's how you make money. Don't listen to me. Listen to Lindsay.
But speaking of Tar's takes, so big weekend on the plains, lots of sports. And the weekend actually kicked off on Thursday. Auburn women's basketball hosted the dynastic Dawn Staley in South Carolina. How'd that go?
How do you think it went, Lindsay? I mean, it went about as expected. At least they didn't get tripled down like they did earlier in the season, because that was just brutal to watch. Auburn fell 83-48, and it sounds like it's a beatdown. It was. I'm not trying to make it sound better than it is, but I will anyways. I'm gonna sunshine pump for just a second here. Auburn was playing down Aisha Koulibaly, down Precious Johnson. Your tallest big, and your best player on the floor. They've been battling injuries all year. This is nothing new. And personally, I got to talking with Caleb. I know I've been up Caleb's rear end all weekend, apparently. But we got to talking last night about, I don't think Auburn played that bad. I think South Carolina's just that good. And you saw really encouraging performances from Saniya Wells. Sydney Shaw shot the ball. I'm going to start calling her Sid Three Shaw. I think it fits better. And Auburn got forced into some late shot clock, poor shot selections. To no fault of their own, really. I mean, it's hard to scheme against the greatest dynasty in women's college basketball we've seen since UConn or Tennessee. And it's, Pat Summitt's teams would go toe-to-toe with these Dawn Staley teams. They would be that good. So it was a building block.
Yeah, and it's something where we expect better results kind of in the future once you have health, another year in the scheme, another recruiting class because you've had so much turnover. But it's just feels like the women's basketball team's kind of had some tough breaks this year. And it's just, you run into a juggernaut at the wrong time. That kind of happens. And then looking forward, ton of great stuff on the plains this weekend. Tonight, Friday night, you are going to have women's gymnastics hosting LSU. So giant, giant meet here on the plains. Who do you think is going to win that one when Auburn can hopefully get, if there's going to be biased judging, hopefully it's going to be on the side of the home team. But either way, who do you think has the better chance of walking away with a victory on this one?
I liked your little subtle dig there for a second, Lindsay. I did catch that. Alabama's was an interesting meet from all perspectives, for that matter. And they don't take away the fact that Bama crushed it on beam. But you look at what's going on tonight at Neville Arena, and you have one of the premier teams in women's college gymnastics, and another one of the premier teams in women's college gymnastics, Auburn coming in back up in the top five. And getting an opportunity to go toe-to-toe with another school that you could see after SEC championships, after SECs going into postseason play for that matter. And I like Auburn in this one a lot. I know that wins and losses really don't matter in dual meets. It's more about what your team can manufacture, because some teams can just have a great night. Like Alabama had a historic night last week, and that's what it took to beat Auburn, which that's a sentiment to what Jeff Graba has done. On the plains, but SUNY Lee, after having two tens last week, I mean, that's just, she's unreal. Enjoy her while you got her. And Auburn fans, make sure you are absorbing every second of that, because she is just unreal. Darion Goborn is just different. I thought Cassie Stevens had a great meet last week. Sophia Groth looks like she's kind of back in her groove. I got a hard time taking anybody with the Tigers at home.
Yeah, that kind of makes sense. Same boat you are. That's kind of where I feel as well, is it's hard to. Any Auburn team at home feels like that's just a bigger hurdle to overcome. And if the skill level's even close to, you know, somewhere close to even, Auburn's probably going to take that out. On the road this week, today, actually, women's softball kicks off the season, the NFCA Leadoff Classic. They're in Clearwater right now. By the time this podcast is up, they would have already played their first game against St. John's. They'll be playing Fordham in the afternoon. That continues on all weekend. But the real star this weekend on the plains, College Game Day is back. The Iron Bowl of basketball is on Saturday at 1 o'clock. And I think people were already camping out on Thursday night for spots.
They were.
Auburn's in an incredibly tough stretch right now. This is one of the hardest stretches of the entire schedule. Can Auburn get off the skid against a very well-regarded Alabama team at home?
Whew, that is a question right there, because there's a young man that plays for Alabama by the name of by Brandon Miller, who I don't know if you've heard of or not, but is probably going to go top five in the draft. He's tough to guard. Matchup wise, this should be concerning for Auburn fans. But you never count it out in the jungle, and it's home court advantage is a bigger deal in college basketball, in my opinion, than any other level of any other sport. Just because we've seen road
they're
teams
right kinda... there on you. They're on the floor. The noise, the distraction, like it's the crowd can do so much more, because they are like, there are so many more fans within close proximity to the court than in any other sport that is played in college. And I feel like that's one of the deciding factors when you have an arena the size of Neville Arena, where it's a little bit smaller, it's a little bit more confined, that it's almost, I think the best way to describe the effect of the fans, from what I've been told, is oppressive. They're oppressively loud and they're oppressively enthusiastic, and it makes it just difficult to focus on what you're trying to do.
Yeah, and there's no doubt that they can sway a little bit of the officiating. I'm not saying it's not neutral. They certainly try their best. I know I'm critical of SEC refs before anyone else. I do think they try to be as neutral as they can, but you do often see these road teams kind of, I think the refs sometimes kind of get lost in the sauce of the energy of these home crowds, and it doesn't hurt you at all. Now, matchup-wise, that's where it gets concerning, Lindsay. Mm-hmm. Alabama is good. They're deep. They've got shooters. They can get the ball inside. It's going to come down to if Jalen Williams is willing to step up and be that guy to help out Jani Broom, to help out Wendell Green. And Wendell Green's got to take shot selections better than the last 30 seconds of the Texas A&M game. And I thought the guard play was fine in the A&M game. I really did. I thought Auburn played it well enough to win. And Wendell Green made a poor decision to shoot a three down two outside of 30 seconds. It happens. You know what? Sometimes you live and die by it. But I think Auburn's got a non-zero chance. It's going to be an uphill battle, and Auburn's going to have to play almost perfect, the best brand of basketball they've played all year.
Yeah. Wrapping up the Saturday slate, softball, two more games at that tournament, Pittsburgh and Indiana, who Indiana then comes the next week to face off against Auburn for the opening series of baseball. And then on Sunday, one final game for softball versus Illinois, and the women's basketball team goes to Tuscaloosa to play
during the Super Bowl.
During the Super Bowl. It feels like really weird, one, to not have them play in the same city when it's to the two same schools as men's basketball, but two, to schedule the game during the Super Bowl over under fans that are not family at the game. I'm setting it at 23.
Under.
It just seems like a weird lot. Time to choose to do that.
Awful. I was talking to my roommate about it. I got my roommate Billy into women's hoops this year. He's now obsessed and has it booked that we have to have LSU South Carolina game on Sunday. I'm excited about that. But like, it's an insult to women's basketball. The SEC, you knew when this is. Come on now. Be better. If you have to run them all on SEC Network Plus, who cares? Your staffing is going to be there anyways. Don't run it during the Super Bowl. What the heck? I didn't even think about the fact that it's on the road while men's are at home. I guess that one just didn't process to me.
It just seems like an odd decision to me. But either way, we're going to do our best to call the SEC out on stupid things like that, hold them accountable.
Harrison, I'll do it.
There you go. Where can folks go to get more information about you, some of these sports you cover, and everything that you're up to right now?
If you're crazy enough to actually want to hear more of my work, I really appreciate you. My Twitter handle is like you're reading a byline at by Harrison Tarr. That's across all platforms. And if you want to check out more of my work, I'm on the College Loop. I'm the host of the College Loop. And that's no gimmicks. Exactly the way it sounds is the way it's spelled. We talk Auburn sports between football, swim and dive, and everywhere in between every Tuesday, Thursday, and Sunday. So those air at 8:30 Eastern. Yes, 8:30 Eastern. And we'd love to have you check us out. I'm actually live. Going to go and put Lindsay on the spot. We really want him to come on next week and talk some baseball if he has time. So, Lindsay, I'll give it to you, and we'll pass it on.
We will absolutely find a time to make that happen. I'm on Twitter at Crosby Baseball. My writing, auburndaily.com, and then my separate podcast as well, Locked On MLB Prospects, available wherever you get your podcasts and on YouTube 5 days a week, covering everything you want to know minor league baseball. And I always try to find a way to slip in some Auburn guys in the bigs whenever I can from time to time. Until Monday's show, enjoy the weekend. This has been the Auburn Daily Show.